This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest with me, T. Shao Yik and Juliet Jacobs. Before the break, we were talking about the impact of COVID-19, but more specifically, actually, the impact of the movement control order on the welfare and well-being of stray animals, animals in shelters, as well as Zoo Negara.
That's right. And, if you'd like to help, you can always check out the Zoo Negara website and just head to any of the shelters' webpages to find out how you can help. But if you have any thoughts, about this, tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 and just share your thoughts, how you guys are doing during this MCO and whether you are finding ways to cope as well.
Yes. And also if you've, seen stray animals or if you've been doing anything to help them in your own way while respecting the MCO, of course. And of course, we are talking about COVID-19 today, turning our lens to the impact on humans. The greatest, before the COVID-19 outbreak, the greatest public health concern facing our country was actually the rising numbers of non-communicable diseases or NCDs among Malaysians. Mm-hmm. And these are chronic diseases like diabetes, heart disease, kidney failure, cancer, and many others, which all take a heavy toll on people, on their families, and on our national health system as well. Because, the chronic nature of these diseases means that people require long-term care. They often suffer from disabling complications or even early death. And this is tough on their dependents and family members. And, the major consequence is cost. Yeah. It costs individuals and governments a lot to treat these NCDs. Now, today, COVID-19 may have eclipsed the conversation about NCDs, but these diseases haven't gone anywhere. They're still a grave public health concern, and even more so during an infectious disease outbreak.
Yes, so the World Health Organization has cautioned that you are at risk of becoming severely ill if you get COVID-19. And if you have any of these pre-existing conditions, which also includes hypertension, previous heart attack or stroke, heart failure, and chronic respiratory disease. I guess the question a lot of people ask is, what does severely ill actually mean?
So in the case of COVID-19, unfortunately, it means that you may be more likely to go into respiratory failure, and then you would require critical care like mechanical ventilation or intubation in order to help you breathe. So if we look to China, where now we have a lot of data about how COVID-19 has affected their population, 40% of people who required critical care with the disease actually had other chronic health problems. And their deaths were highest among people who had heart disease, diabetes, or chronic lung diseases. And Italy, which is also facing huge numbers now, also reports about half of people who died with COVID-19 had three or more underlying conditions, while just 2% of deaths were in people with no pre-existing ailments. I mean, you would see some outliers, and we do here, even in Malaysia, some people who are young and seemingly well who do succumb to COVID-19, but by and large, it's people who are older and have these diseases.
That's right. And an infectious disease outbreak of this scale underscores the importance of pre-pandemic health. COVID-19 doesn't exist in isolation. It thrives in those who are weakened by disease and age. This outbreak has exposed the problems that our health system will have to deal with, because this very health system, which was already struggling to cope with large numbers of chronic diseases, will become overwhelmed.
So to help us understand more, I spoke earlier to Dr. Faisal Izzuan Mustafa, a consultant public health physician and deputy director of the non-communicable disease section in the disease control division of Ministry of Health. I started by asking him how COVID-19 affects people with chronic conditions and what kind of conditions do we need to pay particular attention to.
If you look at the data that's available in the public domain, out of the reported COVID-19 related deaths, over half of these individuals are aged over 60 years, and over two-thirds have some sort of history of some chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, kidney disease, and heart disease. So very concerned that COVID-19 infections these individuals are at greater risk of more serious infection with more severe symptoms and complications. So that's the one thing. The other thing with regards to the current movement control order, Malaysians in general are more stressed, more anxious, more depressed. And if you have diabetes or any chronic diseases, you are more likely to be at higher risk for similar conditions like depression, anxiety. Mm-hmm. And we do know that mental health issues can make disease like diabetes control to be poorer. And people with diabetes are at higher risk for get depression and anxiety anyway. So this current condition with COVID-19 and also the MCO doesn't bode well for people living with diabetes or heart disease.
But regardless, the preventive measures like hand hygiene and social distancing on and all of that is still important. But what other additional preventive measures can people with these chronic conditions take?
The advisories for hand hygiene, for social distancing, applies to everybody. Mm-hmm. It is more important for people living with diabetes, heart diseases, and their family members to be more aware and to be more cautious about social distancing and about hand hygiene. So what we're concerned about is that for patients and for family members to be more concerned about the mental well-being of people with diabetes or cardiovascular disease living at home. Mm. As I've mentioned earlier, they're more likely to be more depressed, more anxious, and they may not share their feelings with their family members or their carers. And that may result in poorly controlled disease. Mm. We are also concerned that although health services are still running as usual, people may not be going to the clinic because they are very trying to reduce their exposure.
Yes.
And, you know, very concerned. And I think that that's quite a valid concern. If your disease is well controlled, then I'm not too worried about that. But if your disease is not well controlled and you are defaulting appointments, then we would be very concerned. So if, for example, if you're a diabetes patient, we would like you to pay extra attention to your blood glucose levels, mm-hmm. and for family members to be more concerned about their blood glucose levels and also about their mental health status, as it were. You know, are they depressed? Are they feeling sad? Are they feeling anxious?
Okay.
If they have symptoms, even at the early stage, symptoms is respiratory tract infection symptoms, then they should seek immediate treatment. Do not wait until things get worse. Infections in general for people with diabetes or heart diseases tend to be more severe and they're more susceptible to infections anyway without COVID-19. Mm. And if you are feeling depressed or anxious, that can make your condition even worse. Mm. Any kind of infection also can cause dehydration. The weather is quite hot nowadays, so make sure that people living with diabetes or heart diseases are drinking enough fluids if you are waiting to see the doctor. The other thing about medications, like I've mentioned earlier, health services are still running as usual and patients can still get their repeat prescriptions. And even if they are concerned about going out of the house, their family members or carers can go pick up their repeat prescription on their behalf. So I think it's important for patients to ensure that they have enough supply of medications, especially if now with the enhanced MCO. So we still cater for these patients, but I think patients have the responsibility of ensuring that they have enough supply of their medication, particularly with the enhanced MCO ready, and nobody else can really go out of the house or people can go in. But we are able to supply them with medication. If you are living alone with diabetes or hypertension, and that is possible because people are limited in their travels now, please arrange for someone who lives close by, their neighbor or family members who are in close contact, know that they are able to provide any kind of assistance if the patient becomes unwell. So while this seems to be, you know, quite logical or common sense in terms of advice, I hope people living with diabetes and hypertension and their family members and their carers would take the extra effort because even beyond this MCO period, COVID-19 will be with us for, you know, at least a few months at least. And we would like to ensure that people living with diabetes and cardiovascular disease, for example, this includes also other NCDs if quality treatment and are able to care for their disease as best as they can.
Does that mean that people who perhaps had follow-up checkups during this period, especially during the MCO, and now that, you know, health services are sort of critical health services are focused on helping COVID patients instead, right? But those with follow-up checkups, are their appointments still going on as usual?
Yes, their appointments are still going on as usual. Some clinics are identifying patients who are at lower risk. That means they have good disease control, or they have appointments for routine complication screening. These are being deferred, and the clinic themselves have been reaching out, contacting these patients to give them new appointments for the more routine and less critical follow-up appointments. Saying that, if people living with diabetes, chronic diseases need any kind of health services in the health clinics, by all means, you can still attend the clinic. The current MCO does not mean that you can't attend clinics. All of them will have their appointment cards.
Yes.
And that can be shown as proof if they get stopped at the checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And the appointment books also have the phone number of the respective health clinics or hospitals.
Yes.
So please contact them if you feel you need to reschedule or to make a new appointment for whatever reason.
What about some advice for those who may experience a medical emergency during this time? You know, a heart attack, stroke, like you said, diabetes complications.
For heart attacks and stroke, please go to the emergency department. That is a medical emergency, and the emergency services are still running as usual. While the only place that we know has been turned into a dedicated COVID-19 hospital is Hospital Sungai Buloh. But again, the emergency department is still operating as usual. So all emergency departments in all hospitals, be it public and private hospital, are still running. So medical emergencies, possible heart attacks or strokes, severe infection, or for whatever cause, please go straight to the emergency department. For any health advisory, right now we have the virtual health advisory service, and the link is available on the MOH website.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, so Mondays to Sunday, every day.
Does all of the above apply to university hospitals as well?
Yes. If the university hospitals are been providing the services in terms of follow-up for patients living with heart diseases, diabetes, and other NCDs, yes, the services are still running. However, some patients would have had their appointments deferred to a later date, but these patients would have been informed by the healthcare providers.
Okay. And just very quickly, if we can look a little bit beyond, like you said, beyond the MCO, even beyond the immediate peak of COVID, whenever that might be, how can we improve our health system to ensure that we are prepared to manage outbreaks without compromising on ongoing care for NCDs?
The core issue, even before the COVID-19, our healthcare system is already finding it difficult to deliver quality care and stretch, especially for managing patients with NCD. So with our current healthcare system, we are already barely coping. And I hope COVID-19 provides impetus for us to really look seriously about our healthcare transformation, healthcare system transformation. That's one. And if you look at healthcare transformation, especially for chronic diseases, there are two key aspects I personally feel we need to look into. Firstly, how do we actually implement or make into reality good self-care.
Mm.
How we can empower Malaysians to take more responsibility for their own health. Even at the best of times, even if you are seeing a super specialist and have access to the latest drugs, for a patient with diabetes, he or she has a very important role to play in managing the condition and making sure that disease is well controlled. So that's one. So about self-care. The other thing is how we can seriously look into what kind of services can be conducted without face-to-face. I think this is possible. A lot of things we are doing now is still very much the old model, the same way we've been delivering healthcare since independence. You know, everything is dependent on face-to-face,
yeah,
having to be present in a healthcare facility. Whereas for diabetes, for example, there are already models out there in more developed countries where some of the interactions can happen virtually. But it has to go hand in hand with self-care as well, with patients taking more responsibility for their own condition and not just offloading all responsibility to a healthcare provider. So I don't have an easy answer for that. We have many user cases or case studies that we can look at other countries which have shown to be successful in terms of these various interventions, mm-hmm, to either improve self-care or to make virtual healthcare delivery possible.
Yeah.
But we need to understand the behavior of Malaysians and our social cultural context as well to make that happen. So I hope what COVID-19 will make us do is think more seriously about changing the way we manage our patients with chronic conditions, and also for the general population to take more responsibility for their own health.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Faisal. So that was Dr. Faisal Izzuan Mustafa, a consultant public health physician and deputy director of the non-communicable disease section with the Disease Control Division in the Ministry of Health. And he was urging us not to lose sight of the underlying problem of chronic diseases in our population.
Yes, and just a reminder, some 3.6 million Malaysians live with diabetes, while about 6.1 million have hypertension. And coronary heart disease is the number one killer in Malaysia.
Mm.
With such large numbers of chronic diseases, our health system would really be swamped if COVID-19 spreads more widely among the community.
Mm-hmm.
So yet another reminder, of course, for all of us to stay at home and reduce the transmission for the sake of those living with chronic diseases.
Mm. And chronic diseases includes cancer. So that's something that we will be exploring in greater detail on our Health and Living show at 4 p.m. Today, we'll be looking at how COVID-19 affects people with cancer. Those who are undergoing cancer treatment, we'll be speaking to Dr. Muralidharan Munisamy, Medical Director of the National Cancer Society Malaysia, so do tune in for that. If you have anything else you'd like to share with us about either of our stories today, do keep those thoughts coming in at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Do check out our Facebook page as well, BFM The Bigger Picture, if you want to drop us a message there. If you missed any part of this show, you can download our podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news, it's Front Row, and it's the final part of the series covering the Performing Arts Meeting in Yokohama 2020. Shamila Gunnison will be speaking to the founders of a Belgium-based performance company called Fieldworks. Juliet and I will leave you now with the Travelling Wilburys with Handle With Care on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.